Three, two, one. Good evening and welcome to another exciting class, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. Yes, I'll say it every time because I'm like David. I'm glad when they said unto me, let us come and go into the house of the Lord. I love what I do. Thank God for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., the founder of the School of Ministry. And once again, this class is catching the waves of revival. We are in chapter number 18, and we'll pick up with where we left off on last Tuesday, and that is this class is dealing with the principle of spiritual fathering. I said Tuesday, but it should be Monday. I got you. Okay. Get the days mixed up when you're doing a lot of things. Okay. We talked about in this class, in our previous sessions, that revival is based upon the principle of continuance. And we talked about the seven major New Testament revivals: times of revelation, times of repentance, times of refreshing, times of revealing, times of restoration, times of reformation, and finally, times of the revivalist. Now, it is important to understand that by the time we get to chapter number 18, times of the revivalist, God has already prepared this anointed festival and have brought him through all of those stages, because in order to impart revival, you have to have received revival. And revival begins with God. You listening? But God must have vessels to work through. Amen. So we're going to talk about this evening the principle of spiritual fathering. Let's begin. The times of the revivalists are times to fulfill the essential needs for spiritual fathering. Samuel was a spiritual father and a mentor to King David. Today's generation is a fatherless generation. Unless the prophetic fulfills its purpose of joining the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, there will not be spiritual succession and continuance of God's eternal purposes. Spiritual succession and continuance. We need to understand that we are, number one, we're not running a new race, but we are continuing to run the race that has been started by our forefathers. This generation of Christians are building upon the truths and the dimensions that were restored in the past generations. We are to bring those restorational truths to a place of maturity. We are to take that which has been restored in the earlier generations and bring them to a greater level of excellence. Y'all need to lower that air up here. I know y'all nice and comfortable, but it's warm in here. Go ahead.
Number two. To receive from the previous moves.
The new move is the continuation of the old order. Notice that the new move of God is a continuation of the old order. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. That shows right there the principle of what? Continuance. Are you listening? Go ahead.
We need to capitalize
on what the old move hath gained
and speed off
into the spiritual horizon.
Number three.
We need to run with patience our own race, our own distance
that has been allotted
or entrusted to us.
We need to know
what God wants us to do
in our generation.
Key. We need to know what God wants us to do where? In our generation. See, the word of God covers all generations. People change, but God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, the word of God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So God doesn't change. So in revival, it's about going back to God's original what? Plan. So if we got to go back to God's original plan, the original blueprint, that tells us God don't change. So who must change? We must change. Go ahead.
Being faithful to what God
has entrusted to a past generation
will only make us relevant
for that past generation.
David served his
king. David served his generation well
because King David knew
what he needed to do
with his life.
Number four.
We are responsible
to maintain
the past victory. Notice that.
We are responsible.
Not God.
People are always asking God to do what God is telling them to do.
God said, I've already finished my work.
When Jesus said in St. John 19:30, it is finished.
That's exactly what God said. It's done. It's completed.
Jesus has fulfilled his assignment.
Now, when Jesus fulfilled his assignment and gave up the ghost,
he depended on his Father to raise him from the dead as he promised.
But he could have never gotten there without trusting his Father
and saying, okay, it is done. Now I trust you.
I've finished what you assigned me to do.
So it's on you.
You listening?
But God's word is fulfilled when he speak it.
Go ahead.
We are a generation
where the past and the future
are held together.
How are they held together?
In the now.
The past and the future
always comes together
in the now.
How do you know that?
Now faith is.
You listening?
Faith has the ability to take what God hath promised and bring them into your now.
Are you listening?
Then there are things that we could go to the scripture and talk about.
A future promise was accessed
when someone walked in the revelation of now faith is.
Are you listening?
You say, how you know that?
Take the Syrophoenician woman
who came to Jesus.
Her daughter had a devil.
And she asked Jesus,
she said, look, my daughter has a devil. I need my daughter cured and healed.
Jesus said, my first assignment is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
I'm not sent to you yet.
And then she kept on persisting.
And then Jesus made a profound statement.
He said, it is not meet
to take the children's bread, the children's healing bread,
and give it to dogs.
In those days, those individuals were called dogs.
That woman didn't get offended. That woman said, I need some help.
So the woman said to Jesus, truth, Lord,
truth.
You said the truth.
You don't take the children's bread and give it to dogs.
But then she made this statement. But even the dogs
get to be a partaker of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Jesus said, woman, because of your answer, because of your faith, go ahead, your child is made whole. Now, why did I go through that? Because the Gentiles were not ready to come in yet. Can you see it? This woman used her faith. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is no doubt in my mind that she had heard of Jesus, that he was the answer. All right? Okay. Go ahead, daughter. We need to be faithful to all that we have in Christ. We need to cherish and nurture all that our forefathers achieved and gained. The forefathers have invested in us their hopes and their dreams. The forefathers have gained many things and exploits, not for themselves, but to lay a solid foundation for us to run and to win this race in style. How about that? In excellence. Not barely getting along, not barely making it. You know, I was raised in the church that songs or something. If I can just make it in. What you mean if you can just make it in? That's okay. The Bible say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's not just making it in. Now unto him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Do that sound like you're barely making it in? He's gonna present the church to himself, not having spot or wrinkle. Already done. Okay, go ahead. The forefathers' desires are not only achieved, but they are brought to perfection. And the forefathers' efforts are rewarded in our attainment in Christ. Concept of spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is an apostolic function rendered to those on whom the apostles wants to reproduce himself into. The fathering process is to put in these men the very life and nature of their being to be reproduced in them. The apostolic succession takes place through the process of spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering starts on a level of relationship that has already been established. Normally, a teacher-disciple relationship or a pastor-church member relationship allows the Holy Spirit to lay the basis for this progression of love and intimacy. All normal relationships progress into higher levels of intimacy and maturity. Time and effort on both sides of the relationship is essential for this maturity to take place. The church has to move in some measure of maturity because before she's ready to be what? Father. You have to be a matured person in order to be fathered. Because most people think spiritual fathering is control. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's why you have so many young men and women of God that they don't have no spiritual father or covering. Because they view it as you holding me back. You trying to smother me. Well, go ahead.
Both parties involved
can desire
for the fathering relationship
to begin. Both parties. Go ahead.
Spiritual fathering
is the extension
of the fatherhood of God
in a tangible way
to reproduce
sons and daughters. The scriptural reference is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The nature of spiritual fathering
derives its blueprint
from the fatherhood of God.
All spiritual fathering
stems out of or from the revelation
of the fatherhood of God,
and we extend this revelation
to those who we are fathering.
To be begotten
is to be part of a seed
or a genealogy
or a lineage.
To be created
is to bring into existence
a thing that is desired.
We must first experience
the fatherhood of God
in our own
personal lives
so that we can impart this dimension
through our relationship.
Now hold that and look at Romans 1 and 11.
Paul, first of all, let's read Romans 1, 1.
Paul,
a servant of Jesus Christ,
called
to be an apostle,
separated
unto the gospel of God.
So we understand that
that Paul was first of all a servant of who?
A servant of who?
A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he was called
by God
to be an apostle.
Now watch verse 11.
Watch what he says.
For I long to see you.
That I may impart unto you.
Some spiritual gift
to the end
that you might be established.
That's the purpose of spiritual fathering.
You cannot impart
that which you have not first received.
1 Corinthians 11:23.
Then we'll pick up and keep running.
I want you to notice these words that Paul spoke to the church of Corinthians.
For I have received of the Lord
that which also I what?
Delivered unto you.
That what?
The Lord Jesus, the same night
in which he was betrayed,
he took bread.
And when he had given thanks,
he broke it
and said,
Take, eat.
This is my body,
which is broken for you.
Do this in remembrance of me.
After the same manner,
also
he took the cup
when he had supped,
saying,
This cup
is the New Testament
in my blood.
This do ye
as oft as you drink
in remembrance of me.
Stop.
Why did I go there?
Paul was not in the
room
where Jesus said,
come on,
dine with me.
He was not the Lord's Supper,
but he got it by what?
Revelation.
And what he received by revelation
as a father,
apostles are fathers
in the gospel.
And for anyone to declare
that apostles are not
relevant for today,
they are ignorant
of the principle
of spiritual fathering
and apostolic succession.
You cannot
pass on what you haven't
first received.
Go ahead, daughter.
Back to the notes.
We cannot father ourselves properly
if we have not been fathered ourselves
by God the Father.
Spiritual fathering
is a divine strategy to reform society. Scriptural reference. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The strategy that's involved, God is sending the Elijah type of ministers and ministries towards us. This is God's divine appointment for the church. Now you understand that the Elijah principle, Elijah the prophet, fathered who? Elisha. But in order for Elijah to father Elisha, Elisha had to make a move. He had to leave his country, leave his kindred, leave his father's house, and go and hook up, be connected to the man that God would use to impart ministry into him. Go ahead. It's a time of specific work upon the church through the prophetic mantle of mature ministries. The response of the church to this new dimension and this prophetic development through the means of spiritual fathering. God has to first turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Spiritual fathering starts with the spiritual fathers identifying who their children are and working, training them to grow up in the ways of the Lord. See, your mama may have had you, but she got to lose you to get fathered. Amen. Y'all know how it is when a woman have children and another fella come in that wasn't the father. And then when he go to discipline the children, what she say? That ain't your children? Okay, let's go ahead. Y'all ain't ready for me yet. That's what happens in the church. You ain't my daddy? That's the children talking now. Go ahead. God then turns the hearts of the children to their fathers. Spiritual fathering is completed with the children feeling belonged and accepted as sons by those whom they are submitting their lives to as their fathers. God coming into the society through these relationships to affect or to impact the surrounding communities. So what that tells us is, if we don't have fathers and we don't have sons and daughters who are committed to the purpose of God, to the vision which God gave the man for the city, then the city cannot be conquered. So we're never to be joined to any ministry without understanding that we must submit to the vision of that ministry. And when you submit to the vision of that ministry, there will be provision. There's no way for you to stay in the same spot year after year if you are connected to a vision, a man sent from God with an apostolic assignment to change the city that he's in. Oftentimes, these churches are not big churches. We tend to think a church is successful based on what? Numerical growth. No. True success is just being where God told you to be. Oftentimes, people who are supposed to be joined to you will walk away. Why? Because they don't understand the assignment. Go ahead. Spiritual fathering raised up continuance to the spiritual ministries that God have placed in that town. The spiritual ministry gathers momentum and gets reproduced through the sons that are in the faith. The sons now, notice that word, duplicate the call and ministries and multiply the effectiveness of the original spiritual ministry. Now, could you imagine what we can do with money coming? Now, notice, you know, now watch this. You get a key to the house, but you want to give it to children or someone so they can have access. What must you do? Duplicate the key. If you don't duplicate the key precise with precision and exactness, what happens? The key won't work. Well, that's why through the principle of impartation and apostolic succession, this don't work for many people because they're trying to take it another way. You must receive the spiritual father, then his teachings. You can't receive his teachings and not him. Go ahead.
Different ways
of fathering to produce different calibers in sons.
In spiritual fathering,
we need to realize
the type,
the way,
or the method
the spiritual father uses,
and that it is dependent
upon the nature
of
his call and his ministry. Apostles reproduce sons
in the grace of apostleship.
The more matured
and the more developed
a spiritual father is
in ministry,
the greater the horizon
and scope
for the spiritual sons.
We can only
begat after our kind.
Boy, you ought to be shouting in here.
I'm talking about you online.
You ought to be shouting.
God gave you this opportunity to sit at this apostle's feet.
Read,
study him,
and see
what great things God have manifested in his life.
And then
understand
you could be a partaker
of the grace
of God that's on his
life. According to
1 Corinthians 15
and 10,
you read it.
I don't have time to go there.
Go ahead.
All
our spiritual children
can
have what we have
and
more.
Spiritual
fathering
is not
a production
of any
kind,
but it
is a reproduction
of
our kind.
Y'all
got that?
It's
a reproduction.
And in
reproduction,
you get more.
Go ahead.
Spiritual
fathering
requires
maturity
of ministries.
We can
be biologically
ready
for fathering,
but
not have the maturity
to
be a good father.
Besides,
there must
be legal permission
given
for fathering,
even
in the natural.
Just
because we have ministers
does
not mean
we can
father others.
For
spiritual fathering
to
fully take place,
we
need to develop
the maturity
to
reproduce ourselves
in
and through
the lives
of others.
Now, you know what
that's telling you?
If you don't
want to be fathered,
don't worry, you'll
never be a spiritual father.
You
first must be
fathered by God.
God's
way of fathering
us is to
put a man in this
earth realm.
Thank you.
How I'm going to
have God father me
and I can't see him?
And I
can't follow the one
who I could see.
See,
a lot of people don't
recognize that.
God said,
how can you say
you love me
and you can't
love the one I sent you?
Go ahead.
We
need to stay faithful
until
that dimension of Christ
is fully
formed in them.
For
spiritual fathering,
God
gives us the spiritual
permission
for
a relationship
to develop
into
this nature.
Spiritual
fathering
is God ordained
and
God commissioned.
Spiritual fathering
requires
motivating
their potential
and giftings
to full maturity.
A good father
talks to his son's potential,
but a bad father
reacts to his own faults,
which he sees in his sons. Good God Almighty.
We must witness
the grace of God
in people
and nurture them
in that grace.
There is a balance
between reproducing ourselves
in others
without destroying
their own uniqueness
and their own unique personalities
and producing clones
who do not have an identity
of their own.
Not only do they not have identity,
they ain't got no power
because they're trying to be something that God didn't make them to be.
Go ahead.
There's this delicate work
of wisdom
and maturity,
which is available
for spiritual fathering.
Spiritual fathering
is to produce self-governance
in sons.
Sons must be taught
how to police their own lives.
They must be taught
how to stand up for their own convictions
and rights.
They must learn
how to fight
for their own spiritual
bread and butter.
This helps the relationship
to be constantly refreshing
to one another.
We cannot become dependent
on the spiritual fathers.
Over-dependence
reveals a lack
of maturing
in sons.
Spiritual fathering
is solidly based
on covenant relationships.
Spiritual fathering
cannot be carried out
by organizational
expertise.
We cannot run rightly
according to timetables
to raise up spiritual children.
It is a functional relationship
and not a mechanical task.
An open-ended communication
is essential
towards helping develop
a meaningful relationship.
Spiritual fathering
is to produce successors
who will rocket past us
in ministry.
Fathers are never threatened
by their sons' success and achievements.
They desire their children
to excel
and to surpass them
in every way
of prosperity
and blessing.
Fathers desire the children
to break into newer areas
that they themselves
have failed to explore.
The fathers want their children
to be worthy successors
that provide continuance
to what they have achieved
thus far.
The desire of spiritual fathers
is not only to reproduce
themselves in others,
but also
to achieve through them
their call
and their ministry.
Through spiritual fathering,
we can provide a continuance
to a move of God
that started in the heart of God
through one man.
The man carries the message.
The response
to the message
gathers momentum
in the hearts of the people.
And when the message is spread to others,
it becomes a movement
that affects the nation.
The whole nation flows
with the man
and with his message.
This is the principle of
succession
in motion.
The process of fathering.
The times of the revivalists
are times of training
by the process of impartation.
The fastest way of training
is through the spiritual process
of impartation.
Impartation
is the ability
to plant in a seed form
into the spirits of others
what we possess in our lives,
ministries,
and call.
Impartation
also releases
with it
a supernatural quickening
on that planted seed
to mature it to full harvest.
The quickening spirit
is also released
to speed up the time of maturity
and fullness.
The training
that is done by impartation
is supernaturally
effective,
and it multiplies
the results.
The mature minister
is reproducing
a greater measure
to his ministry.
He lives
through those
whom he hath
trained.
The process of
impartation.
Scriptural references.
Haggai chapter
2.
Verses 12 and 13.
Number one,
impartation
cannot take place
through superficial
contact
or casual
touch.
Only a
touch
of diligent
faith
can draw
impartation
into our lives.
Number two,
impartation
can be done
only by
life transfer.
Only
a life force
can
implant seed.
Number three,
impartation
requires
intense,
passionate
hearts.
Impartation
requires
forceful
release.
Number four,
impartation
is only
possible
if we have
something we can impart.
We cannot
impart
what we do not
personally
possess.
And we cannot
impart
what
we have not
gotten or received.
Number five,
impartation
will
impact or affect
every aspect
of our lives.
A human
seed
impregnated
into
a human body,
it not only
brings biological
change,
but also
hormonal
and
psychological
changes.
Number six,
impartation
takes place
at
different levels
of
spiritual maturity.
The
impartation
of a
pastor to leaders
needs
a greater level
of maturity
and resources
on
the part of the
one
that
is doing the imparting.
Number seven,
impartation
is
to produce
quick succession
to the
mature ministries.
The
Lord allows us
to
nurture that seed
through
a period of time.
The
quickening spirit
cuts
short the time
of the
process of
maturity,
and
the apostolic
impartation
reproduces
many
quickly
and
brings them
to their
full potential
in ministry.
Now
on next week,
we'll have
exams.
Enjoy
your evening,
and please read
chapter number 3.